What the fuck is up, y'all? It's your host, Sean Chris, with another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbird. Today, we got a special treat. Millie Weaver, she's airing right now. It's live on YouTube, but we're going to be recording the audio of Shadowgate 2.0. Hopefully, it has a lot of good information for everybody. Give us some feedback if you like us doing some episodes like this. Maybe we'll record some other documentaries and do some commentary over it. So let us know what you think and enjoy. We will have the link also on our Instagram page, which is Kill the Mockingbirds. That will be in the link, the bio that will be in the link in our link tree. And you can also follow us at kill_mockingbirds on Instagram. And then go to our email. killthemockingbirds@gmail.com. So let's get right into this. You know, you're not gonna hear me talking too much. You're gonna just hear right into the thing.
An online network called Internet.
We've been talking for decades. World War III was going to be a cyber war, and everybody for the last couple decades had been saying, oh, we need to shore up our infrastructure, our power plants, our traffic signals, our hospitals, and those are all very true statements. But not a lot of attention was ever given to shoring up the hacking of mankind's shadow.
Strings. Is it former Obama
people
officials?
That you've never heard of, people that are in the dark shadows, people that
what does that mean? That sounds like conspiracy theory. Dark shadows.
No,
what is that?
People that you haven't heard of.
When the first Shadowgate trailer was aired,
a little-known anonymizer project called Ion 2 was scrapped. The first installment of Shadowgate demonstrated that the shadow government consists of government contractors, defense, intelligence, security, and so on. On the day of Shadowgate's release, a well-planned targeted smear campaign by media outlets and social media influencers was launched to distract away from the subtle panic the military-industrial complex was going through in the background. While everyone was distracted by my bizarre arrest and the mainstream media's hit pieces on the whistleblowers and myself, people didn't notice that the military-industrial complex themselves started pulling pages off their websites in a mad panic.
The movie was actually about, you know, Dynology, Jones Group International. These people are pulling their websites down. You got the military-industrial complex shutting down for a day. It was like amazing, you know, everybody's pulling their websites and stuff.
The web pages of Dynology, Jones Group International, ClearForce were removed, modified, and changed in what appears to be a cover-up. The day the trailer for Shadowgate 2.0 was launched, where Patrick revealed he was blowing the whistle on Leone, a military-industrial complex psyops contractor, then Leone subsequently pulled pages from their website. But why? What was so dangerous about Shadowgate and our whistleblowers that the documentary created such commotion and chaos? That is the subject matter for this documentary. Fake news, yellow journalism, and propaganda have been around for a long time. The term fake news previously was associated with video news releases, advertisements made to look like news.
There aren't many kids who will pass up a chance to play video games. And when the holidays roll around, most kids start wishing for more. But it turns out this sort of activity might actually be good for your child.
Too often, it's hard to tell just by looking at the package which choice is better for you. As customers walk the aisles, they'll soon see the Great For You label.
You just choose one of our professional newsreaders and one of these highly impressive virtual news studios, then send us your news stories together with your logo and any supporting images, and we will do the rest.
Now, fake news has evolved into political spin.
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey announcing plans to ban all political ads,
deceptive reporting, and smear campaigns. When it was realized that then-candidate President Trump was likely to win the 2016 election, this new twist on fake news needed a boost. The Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 allowed for U.S. citizens to be targets of propaganda. This opened the door for social media psychological operations to be used domestically within the U.S. However, IIA, or Interactive Internet Activities, the military nomenclature for social media influence operations, still wasn't legal to use domestically, but non-attribution techniques made it possible with little or no detection.
With these propaganda acts that allow propaganda, like the Smith-Mundt Act, I mean, do you find that this timing was actually the military-industrial complex trying to regain control?
Absolutely. Why did we make NPR? Why did Congress make NPR? Why did Congress make the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? They made it because they knew there was a potential bet with television and radio that either corporations or our government could maliciously use these technologies to do bad things to America. So we made these nonprofit organizations to hopefully provide some sort of a bumper, although those have been abused at this point as well.
Why does this keep happening, Mrs. McGrady?
Well, racism is like a disease. If you don't treat it, it's just going to get worse.
You've got the Smith-Mundt Act in 2012, which helped what was called provide IIA the keys to the kingdom. That was what we wanted, the keys to the kingdom, because it was such a problem for us. How do you disseminate information on a chat room with a bunch of Iraqis who are sitting in Iraq, but that chat room's on a server somewhere in the United States? How do you do that without violating American law? And plus, how do you do that with ensuring that an American's not going to see that post later on, which does not have attribution for it potentially, right, and be influenced by it, because that's illegal?
Well, everyone, good afternoon. On behalf of Fred Kemp, our president, and the entire Atlantic Council family, dedicated or focused on countering propaganda and disinformation act. And no, it doesn't have anything to do with this year's presidential campaign.
Yeah, when John Huntsman came out back in March or so of 2016, trying to promote the Disinformation and Propaganda Act focused on Russia, in the middle of the night of 2016, they come out with the Disinformation and Propaganda Act. It's a massively, $180 million government program that's funding nothing more than the Atlantic Council. It funds social justice NGO programs to determine whether or not something's fake news.
If you look closely at the writing of the act, under Section 2, Sense of Congress, it states the United States government should develop a comprehensive strategy to counter foreign disinformation and propaganda, and assert leadership in developing a fact-based strategic narrative. And an important element of this strategy should be to protect a free, healthy, and independent press in countries vulnerable to foreign disinformation. There's only one problem. The act makes no mention of domestic propaganda and disinformation. One could argue that this act was done to prevent Russian interference in the elections. However, if sophisticated non-attribution and misattribution technology is used to make domestic propaganda and disinformation appear as though it is foreign, then these two acts together actually made domestic propaganda and disinformation legal, opening the door to sway elections and go after political dissidents in the name of protecting a free, healthy, and independent press.
They say, well, we're stopping propaganda. We're going to stop this fake news. Who's going to stop the fake news and the propaganda? The government? And the politicians? They're the ones who propagate all this. They're the worst producers of fake news. And they're going to be in charge of watching us.
Since the 2016 election, the use of domestic propaganda and disinformation through the dissemination of fake news on both sides of the political aisle has escalated to the point of nearly destroying our First Amendment, the Constitution, and the social fabric of our country.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
I think you get the idea there, what's going on. All these anchors and all these markets are required to read this script. Really, what it's doing, it's kind of like the Fox Fair and Balance slogan. It's a way of saying, we're fair, everybody else is biased. We're fair, everybody else is biased.
Russian hacking and meddling in the presidential election.
That there was Russian meddling.
That Russia meddled.
The Russian meddling.
Russia's meddling.
Russia was meddling.
Russia's meddling. The only thing that can stop this is the full and complete exposure of the fake news industrial complex. Patrick Berge, a decorated veteran of both the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, has come forward as a whistleblower. In Shadowgate, he exposed Dynology and ClearForce for their abuse of power. Dynology, which developed a classified tactical psychological operations management tool through government contracts, commercialized it and made it publicly available as the ShadowNet, a military-grade psyops tool that used Jungian psychology as a weapon, hence the use of one's own shadow against them. Ironically, the whistleblowers, the producers of the Shadowgate documentary, and myself, came under such an attack.
There is a viral, you know, I don't know if you want to call it a YouTube video or whatever, it's not a documentary, that was produced called Shadowgate. I don't know what's going on, but like, they're not in touch with reality. Had I known how demonic this thing was going to be, I would have watched it immediately and dissected it immediately. I feel really bad. I feel like I could have stopped this thing from going viral. It's my task I want to do, and I go shopping for money from billionaires. And a lot of times these billionaires give me money to go do what I want to do to find out information.
They call me the hammer sometimes, and you're about to find out why.
Did Ali plays behind the curtain, okay? Let me go in. Do what I do, clean it up really quickly, and bada bing, bada boom. I'm not gonna embarrass anybody who's distanced themselves from them, but trust me, they don't got anyone on their side. I will call up some friends to dust off some accounts from the Great Meme War, and we'll see. We'll see who the OG is.
This weapon uses a target's fear, imperfections, personal tragedies, past mistakes, anything embarrassing or defamatory. It is to first discredit, distract, and demoralize them, ultimately dividing them from their support to destroy their morale. As a psychological weapon of war, it is extremely effective against the enemy. As a commercialized product, it is extremely effective against a political opponent. To better understand all of the commotion, we begin our story with the war in Iraq.
These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign.
This is the second floor of the Afal Palace.
This is Victory.
Camp Victory? Not much, but it's home for now. And my boys, which today is their birthday. I gotta give them, it's their birthday today for me. They just turned one today, like about an hour ago for me. Anyway, happy birthday, boys. I love you very much.
What is the Trans Regional Web Initiative?
TRWI. Basically, that was an initiative to get America's message, right, who we are, what we stand for, and such, out into Iraq and into other areas in the region.
This is my walk back from using that in mangy pisser right there. If you really gotta take an emergency pee, you're in trouble.
In 2004, a major public relations contract was awarded to IraqX, who later changed their name to the Lincoln Group. In 2005, contracts upward of $300 million for psychological operations were awarded to the Lincoln Group, Science Applications International Corporation, and Cy Coleman, Inc., a subsidiary of L3 Communications.
Lincoln Group in 2005 was involved in the TRWI program, which ended up getting outed by a whistleblower for using government dollars, taxpayer dollars, to fund and contract journalists in Iraq.
An enormous amount of information is being fed the Iraqi press, both written and television, that is just plain factually wrong. First place, we don't know for a fact how and when and to what extent money was given to journalists. They do not support any practices which is not in keeping with the long-standing traditions of our journalistic profession in this country.
This is the front of Saddam's al-Assad or whatever palace. Look at that.
Let's get it here. And use.
Three weeks into the invasion of Iraq, the famous toppling of Saddam Hussein's statue in Firdaus Square was heralded by the media as a symbol of victory. But it was, in fact, a small event, shaped into greater significance by the media. Careful examination of those broadcasts and photographs suggests the crowd, which varied in size, topped out at just a few hundred. And it was to a significant degree composed of journalists and Marines. CNN replayed the toppling every 7.5 minutes. Fox replayed it every 4.4 minutes. Wide shots from the live coverage, which revealed a more subdued reality, were not replayed. The iconic images that shape public opinion in America did not reveal the actual scale of the event. A visual echo chamber occurred. Rather than find the news, editors urged reporters to focus on what was unfolding on TV.
Paying journalists a lot of money to feed, you know, stories kind of gets into damaging the whole First Amendment, freedom of press, things like that, when you start paying journalists to push a particular narrative.
Was BKSH and Associates a subcontractor?
Yeah, they were a subcontractor, actually, of the Lincoln Group. And who do you have with BKSH, right? You have many of the same players.
John McCain says we're fighting in Iraq to plant the seeds of democracy. But the firm of his chief political advisor, Charlie Black, made millions lobbying for the world's worst tyrants.
At the same time that BKSH and Lincoln Group are building up these IAA contracts in Iraq, you've got others like Leone, like Jones Group, like MPRI, like L3, like GDIT, General Dynamics IT, all of these people vying for hundreds of millions of dollars in literally IIA contracts.
How did that become interactive internet activities?
Well, I think they wanted to really get away from some of the dust up. I mean, several hundred million dollars in contracts were lost at that time in 2005. In fact, just a couple months after this first came out, this lady, May Shidiak, was almost killed in a car bomb.
I heard a blast. I felt it at the same time. I was still awake. I saw black snow falling over me.
Against all odds, though, she survived.
And actually, two other journalists at that time did die in car bombs as well. Why are journalists dying over there? Well, I'm thinking, in order for the PSYOP community to be able to properly disseminate a narrative or a message, they have to be able to bring journalists in and control journalism as well to avoid some of the deconfliction
What happens if they can't control a journalist?
Maybe you end up getting blown up.
The burned wreck of Daphne Caruana Galizia's car lies in a Maltese field, flung over a wall by an explosion which killed the crusading journalist.
How far are you separating a journalist from a spy when a state, a government, is paying that journalist to do something?
Russia's FSB security service has arrested a senior Ukrainian journalist for spying.
Iran says Roxana Sabiri is an American spy. Her father says she's a journalist just trying to do her job, and he demands her release.
There's a fine line between being a journalist and being a spy.
In 2008, contracts in the hundreds of millions of dollars were awarded to Leone Industries for influence operations, public relations, and psychological operations similar to the Lincoln Project.
No, I'm videotaping it, actually. This is an interesting predicament here. Hey, don't worry, we got flipped off driving down through here the other day, too. Yeah, there's some dust for you.
So I worked for Leone from January 2010 to around April. They had said that they had overspent, bringing like a financial shortfall, so they needed to save money. But they did it because they had mentioned something like $4 million that they had spent on other properties in Iraq, and the contract now required something else. See, they had brought us all in and had a meeting with everybody when this happened. Sat everybody that was on the team, brought us all into the room and said, hey, we got this problem. And I remember it being in the millions of dollars. I remember the equipment that I ordered, equipment specific to applications and stuff that were predetermined to be necessary for this mission, were changed by the HR department. Some woman in the HR department had the ability to modify all the equipment that I had ordered into something completely different. And by the way, not compatible with any of the stuff we were using. It ended up bringing like a financial shortfall. So they needed to save money. One of the ways that they did that was having me secure a classified network with a Linksys home Wi-Fi. And I'm not going to do it. So good luck to you on that. That's what I had gone to them about, saying, are you freaking people kidding me? And I'm the information assurance security officer. I'm the guy who's supposed to sign off on that. Not going to happen. There was just a lot of stuff going on, so much so that I, like I said, I had sent an email to my former IIA chief asking him what he thought I should do. They just ran a really bad operation. I resigned in disgust. Information that we were protecting got out. Absolutely, people would die. But then I found out just recently, the owners, Camille Shidiak and I believe Rima DuPont, owed like $4 million in back taxes. It was an article by USA Today, two journalists, that exposed that, resulted in Camille Shidiak attacking those journalists using fake personas, using fake websites, using IIA. And I would add, a third-party investigation also determined that they used highly advanced anonymity. So are we talking highly advanced anonymity like you would get through Intrepid that has the ability to do not only attribution, non-attribution, and misattribution? Camille Shidiak had said he didn't use government computers, right? He didn't use government resources to attack those journalists. Attack them, I would add, in the exact same fashion that you were attacked. By USA Today, right? So USA Today is an IIA victim. Shadowgate comes out. Then USA Today attacks you. They attack you for trying to report about IIA when they themselves apparently claim that they were victims of IIA themselves. You know, people attack us instead of actually looking into the things that we brought up.
Camille Shidiak, co-owner of Leone Industries, a Pentagon contractor, has admitted to criminally targeting journalists for reporting on a failed Pentagon propaganda operation. Shidiak used dirty tricks reminiscent of the FBI's COINTELPRO tactics to target the journalists. But Leone's co-owner created a batch of fake websites, social media accounts, and a fraudulent Wikipedia page in an effort to smear the journalists.
So let me get this straight. What you're saying is that Leone, the private contractor company that you worked for, misappropriated contract funds. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the owners of Leone owed all of this money in back property taxes for their big mansion, mm-hmm. their privately owned home.
Hollywood Homes.
Yeah. So this money somehow doesn't go toward secure systems that would protect the safety of American troops in dangerous territories. Mm-hmm. Instead, that money goes towards potentially home taxes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet these troops are now vulnerable because they're securing their locations mm-hmm. with Linksys Wi-Fi routers.
The vulnerabilities that you have on a $67 Linksys home Wi-Fi, I can break that with a Pringles can from a half a mile away.
This is all you need to hack into the confidential business files of many of the city's top companies and finance houses. A laptop and an aerial built into a crisp can will do the job. At the moment, most business computers talk to each other through a network of cables, but increasingly companies are installing cheaper wireless systems which use radio signals. Hackers can pick up any stray signals and access the secret information.
And we're sitting here on a base built for contractors by contractors. It's called GV, or Green Village, right just a few miles from Kabul International Airport, KIA. It would be very easy to be able to access that information from the outside if you did. And in fact, not long ago, a few years ago, a big truck bomb took that whole place out.
One of the interesting things that we found out just from looking at research, like right after you left and decided, I'm out, I'm not doing this, we saw that these were some of the highest mortality death rates with our troops. So we could then ask, I mean, how likely is it that these troops died because of this misappropriation of funds?
I can do you one better. How likely is it that when we left Iraq and General James Jones, retired four-star general, through his company, took the capabilities that we had developed, which ended up becoming ShadowNet and made commercially available, when we left Iraq and took those with us, leaving the 4th Psychological Operations Group completely empty-handed, if we had the ability to still sit there, communicate, to understand what was going on the battlefield, and to be able to communicate our message. But I do remember them trying to get us to stay.
This is how the Awakening Councils, or Sahwa fighters, took up arms against Al-Qaeda late 2006 and the beginning of 2007, with the support and the backing of the American forces. They can be credited for contributing to the reduction of violence across the country.
And keep in mind that what we did was helped talk kids out of actually blowing themselves up before they do it, right?
The children love to come and study, and we have elders here as well, because during the Civil War they couldn't study, and now the opportunity is here so they can come and learn.
How many people actually died? How many of our troops died because some kids strapped on a bomb that wouldn't have otherwise strapped on a bomb? But I would argue even more, would we even have ISIS? Would ISIS have taken over after we left? How many people died from that? You can't put a number on it, but you can certainly use your common sense and understand that people probably did.
Without the help and support of the Awakening Councils, an armed group like Al-Qaeda still has the power to control towns and cities once again. Abu Hudhaifa, a local Sahwa leader, says his house was destroyed recently by Al-Qaeda members. He warns that the withdrawal of U.S. troops will leave his fighters at the mercy of Al-Qaeda.
The Sunni militia, the Sahwa, have been on the front lines. Sheikh Abu Salim, here in the black leather jacket, has led that fight in Samarra, in the north of the country. But 20 days later, while the Sheikh was in Baghdad, the militants returned in strength and took their revenge on his family.
Why is it you think that ISIS and Al-Qaeda have come back?
After the Americans withdrew, we were neglected by the government, and Al-Qaeda became strong again.
I have a letter from the IIA chief back in 2010, just before I had submitted my letter of resignation to Leone. The IIA chief made it very clear. He's like, listen, this is how it works. You know, the government, the military just lets contractors control everything. Because when that IIA chief, who's like maybe a major now, leaves the army, he's going to submit a resume to Leone, to Dynology, to Angility, right? And these people are going to pay them, $200,000, $300,000 salaries where they were making $60,000 or $80,000. Like he says in that letter, you know, if you turn against them, you're done in the business, right? So don't turn against them. Just do the limit of what you're supposed to report. We'll get this worked out later. But everybody's just covering their ass at taxpayer expense. You gotta love that one.
We need very badly to understand that defense spending is very important and vital, particularly in the new challenges we face in the world.
When I came back from the Iraq contract in 2008, the day of the debate between McCain and Obama, Dynology was doing John McCain's IT security and social and everything, but also just like all sorts of security, right? So from blocking, from eavesdropping, everything. There were financial filed with Federal Election Commission of several hundred thousand dollars to Dynology. Now, after McCain won the primary, then the RNC came in, pushed Dynology aside, and replaced them with Manafort. FEC filings indicate Manafort comes on as the prime and then Dynology comes on as a sub. That makes sense because 3EDC actually shows on their website, if you go back to the Wayback Machine, they list Dynology as their number one partner at that time. And a New York Times article said that 3EDC, the company owned by Paul Manafort, didn't actually have any products, right? In Dynology, we had these products, but we didn't actually have salespeople. So at the same time I'm making the ShadowNet flyers, I'm kind of actually wondering, well, who are these flyers for? But I never knew. Kind of thinking maybe they were for Paul Manafort.
While collecting documentation to verify Patrick Berge's claims about Dynology and 3EDC being involved in John McCain's 2008 campaign, we found something very disturbing. If you look at Berge's original FEC complaint about disbursements from McCain's 2008 campaign to Dynology and 3EDC, the link to the page referenced no longer exists. However, you can still find it on archive.org. But if you look at the pages that are currently available on the FEC's website, the dollar figures are significantly different, showing smaller figures dispersed to Dynology and greater figures dispersed to 3EDC. This suggests that sometime after Berge's FEC complaint and the release of Shadowgate, the FEC's own website was tampered with, altering the financial relationship between Dynology, 3EDC, and McCain's 2008 campaign. This appears to be illegal tampering with FEC official records and reeks of electronic manipulation of official public records. Both McCain and Obama's campaigns were riddled with alleged hacks, social media manipulation tactics, record-breaking fundraising, and allegations of fraud. In 2008, the Democratic National Committee sued the Federal Election Commission for failing its obligation to investigate John McCain's campaign finances. In 2011, the FEC launched an investigation into the financial records of Obama's 2008 campaign. In 2013, the FEC fined McCain's 2008 campaign $80,000 for exceeding campaign donation limits and not reporting all contributions. In 2013, the FEC fined Obama's campaign $375,000, the largest ever for also exceeding campaign donation limits and not reporting all contributions. With Davis and Manafort's 3EDC and Jones's Dynology involved in McCain's campaign, and with General Jones himself being appointed Obama's national security advisor, the bipartisan nature of the military-industrial complex influence over U.S. elections was never more transparent.
Senator McCain knows me very well. I worked for Senator McCain when he was a captain. I've known him for many, many years.
And with these new revelations, one thing is clear. This same syndicate of corruption is behind the coup against President Trump.
Now, it kind of sounds like maybe General Jones was doing some double-crossing. Because how odd is it to then nominate the person that was running your competitor's campaign, okay?
Their IT security.
Exactly.
In that same conversation that I had with Jim, he had mentioned kind of snarkily that McCain's email had gotten hacked after we had left. And he's like, that probably wouldn't have happened if we'd kept doing it. I didn't think about it at the time. But I know that both McCain and Obama's emails were hacked back in 2008. And Jim did make a point of mentioning that it was after Dynology were replaced by 3EDC.
In a similar way, Tory claimed to have moved passport data of Obama, Clinton, and McCain off of a State Department server during the 2008 elections under the direction of John Brennan while she worked at Analysis Corporation and CGI.
Now, in the case of Senator McCain, we detected earlier this year one of the same people who accessed Senator Obama's passport file also accessed Senator McCain's passport file.
What would be the point of that? What were they trying to hide?
Well, if I removed it, that means someone else was there to replace it.
There seems to be a common theme here. IT moving data from one server to another under the guise of an alleged hack, when in reality, it's for damage control and blackmail.
In the battle for power, democracy has a new front line. It's an online information war, where often unseen hands harvest your personal data, tapping into your hopes and fears for the greatest political yield.
We are not only the largest and most significant political consultancy in the world, we're used to operating through different vehicles in the shadows.
Prepared, it seems, to ruin their clients' opponents through handouts and honey traps.
Millie, you don't have any sources.
It shouldn't be a big surprise that one of the biggest political operatives running disinformation and hit pieces about Shadowgate, our whistleblowers, producers, and myself, is a former McCain 2008 social media operative.
I did do some work for the John McCain campaign, but and the 2008 convention.
And Ali Akbar, a member of the Republican National Convention floor operations team.
Well, as a party, we stand unified behind John McCain.
Your film alleges that Roger Stone is connected to Cambridge Analytica. I've pointed out that that's not true and it can't be true, and that I have primary knowledge of that.
Shadowgate revealed that Cambridge Analytica was a honeypot trap for President Trump to create the false appearance his campaign used Russian military-grade social media tactics to win the 2016 election, using misattribution technology to create the false appearance.
It was so blatant because it was piloted at the same time that the RNC and the DNC were hacked. It was all formulated correctly.
I have said to you, it's all coming out, and
the question is how.
I didn't conspire to leak Hillary's emails, and I have nothing to do with Russia. So,
yes.
The fact is, it looks like I did both.
Does it look like you did both?
If I wasn't me, I would say yes, that's what it looks like.
They were supposed to sway him because they were supposed to give up the goods to match the Russia hack.
Why would they be running an IA operation that would be helping Trump win?
Because then we just make it look like Russia was running the Cambridge Analytica program too.
And it admits to it right here.
I am headed to Washington, D.C. for my testimony for the Mueller investigation.
I definitely didn't think that while we're sitting there counting votes that some of those votes were made by people who had seen fake news stories paid for by Russia on their Facebook page.
Yeah, I worked at Cambridge Analytica while they had Facebook data sets. Went to Russia one time while I worked for Cambridge. I visited Julian Assange while I worked for Cambridge. Pitched the Trump campaign and wrote the first contract. I have an email from one of our senior data scientists that said that we were actually using Facebook-like data in our modeling. The methodology was considered a weapon. Weapons-grade communications tactics.
Well done, Britt. Looked quite tough, and you did okay. With a winky face, little emoji.
Since their whole attempt to have him employ a company to help him win and use these psychological operations that the left was using. I mean, they're doing it, we should do it. And he didn't.
And that's in the Mueller report. That's in the New York Times. There are several instances where he's rejected the opportunity to take advantage of influence operations, be it IIA supported or just your standard run-of-the-mill influence operations.
I'm more connected to Cambridge Analytica. Cambridge Analytica is a company that Bob Mercer owned. Bob Mercer has given me money in the past to conduct certain political operations.
So it's no surprise that this same political operative has been on the financial receiving end by the former owner of Cambridge Analytica.
You called me an IIA asset, which nobody's ever pointed out what an IIA asset is. You made up a term. Nobody's ever pointed out what an IIA asset is. You made up a term so that people would cling on to it. You're a very nasty woman.
What is the Lincoln Project?
I looked at that and I'm like, okay, this is just an IIA operation. George Conway is the founder, one of the founders of the Lincoln Project. But as soon as I scroll down below his name, everybody on there were like former McCain campaign people, McCain analysts, all these people from McCain in 08.
The Lincoln Project and John Kasich, they've become faces kind of the Never Trump movement.
And according to the Washington Post, the Lincoln Project pledges to support a Biden presidency and actively work against Republicans who oppose the former vice president.
If you look at the Republicans that they've been affiliated with in the past, folks like John McCain, John Kasich, John Huntsman.
You have these connections to John McCain's campaign. And when I say campaign, like the 2008 campaign. You have John Huntsman, who was in from 2014 to like 2017, 2018, the chairman of the board of Atlantic Council. He actually endorsed the McCain campaign back in 2008. General Jones, my boss, and owner of Dynalogy, they were providing the IT support for John McCain's campaign. So you have all of these people tied together, organized, tactical, psychological operations being committed upon President Trump, along with McChrystal. So you got McChrystal, who's more like a Democrat. You've got General Jones, who's a Democrat. You've got all of these people that have taken these tools that were developed by the Department of Defense and using them to attack one individual. They are, in a very organized, tactical fashion, attacking our president.
Think about the implications that Dynalogy and Anonymizer have since commercialized these weapons of war into products available to anyone who can afford them.
We did a lot of work with this company called Anonymizer. Anonymizer, they helped provide some anonymity for us. We had built out a network called Ion, which you would actually think would be like a classified thing. But then I look online just recently, and I saw that that company had taken the Ion network, which was Dynalogy's. We had actually developed that and such. But they've taken that proxy, non-attribution, even misattribution capability, and made it available commercially.
What is Ion?
So Ion was basically a non-attributional network. It helped provide the anonymity, non-attribution, misattribution capabilities. If I'm representing myself as someone who's living in Baghdad and I'm in a chat room or something where the admin of that chat room can look at my IP and say, oh, he's in Virginia, you know, he's going to say, okay, what's up with this?
It's the same way that hackers, they can make it look like a hack came from China or came from some other, or even from Russia, right?
Yeah.
By making it look like the IP address was
was from that region when anyone could have done it from anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I can make it look like I'm coming from anywhere. I've had these capabilities tested out with all the different agencies, so I know they're pretty solid, and it's always changing. There are literally organizations out there that build these capabilities. Taxpayer pays them to build these technologies and build these capabilities, and then they turn around and they license them for commercial availability.
These technologies were demonstrated to exceed the U.S. intelligence community's ability to pinpoint their source of origin. The ability to undermine U.S. national security and the interests of the American people is staggering.
It just seems so wrong that all of these military weapons that were developed with taxpayer dollars were somehow able to be put into the private sector so all these private corporations could profit off them and use them on Americans.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, and then how does that impact national security? Because the government hires these companies to develop non-attribution, misattribution proxies so that we can not be seen. And then they sell them to presumably people who we could be trying to watch, right? So it's making our job even harder. We're building these and then we're turning around and selling them to our adversaries. How does that work? And then what, are we going to come back to them and make them something that has even better anonymity? Because now these guys are, I mean, come on.
Well, this just sounds like the MO of the military-industrial complex, doesn't it?
How did anyone from the 17 intelligence agencies determine that Russia hacked or interfered with the election through social media influences, when these non-attribution and misattribution technologies could make it appear Russian just as easy? Since Russia has similar capabilities and wouldn't be so stupid as to leave attribution, election meddling, pointing directly at themselves.
Just like with a tangible real-life murder or crime scene, there are hallmarks and tracers that go along with digital attacks. There is a bipartisan commission that has agreed largely that all of these point back to not just Russia, but the GRU. And when we take the MO and this hybrid warfare, which is kinetic attacks with psychological attacks, with digital infiltration, or what we call hacking, we have a pretty good indication that Russia was responsible for the U.S. election meddling or interference, and in this hybrid war. The hybrid comes from using cyber to infiltrate and attack systems, and then using social media to fracture and fragment Democratic supporters and those who live within the Democratic institutions.
With the modification to the Smith-Mundt Act of 2012 and the Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016, Dynology Anonymizer, now Intrepid, could technically interfere in the election.
U.S. intelligence officials are warning of a new election interference threat, and it's coming from the same source.
On behalf of politicians of their choosing, by masking domestic propaganda and disinformation as foreign.
Multiple sources tell CBS News that intelligence officials warned lawmakers and the White House that Russians are continuing their efforts to interfere in the 2020 election.
In Emma Brandt's Pentagon Jiu-Jitsu, Reshaping the Field of Propaganda, she writes about the struggles between 2005 and 2009 when planners sought to alter foreign and domestic audience targeting norms.
Let's talk about Pentagon Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. What is the academic significance of that paper?
The moment I read it, I was like, wow, this person knows exactly what's going on.
So we started to see, you know, them doing these big data projects for the military and so on. And it started to change the kind of target audience analysis, how those groups were being profiled by the military, then was being taken out and deployed in elections. These firms are working in multiple domains. You have commercial data use, you have military data use, and you have political data use in the same company. And we have no regulation over what is happening in the United States.
They knew all the acronyms. They actually knew what IIA was. Oh my God, somebody actually referenced the military nomenclature for everything everybody's been talking about the last 5 years. I found it interesting that she was trying to show people that there was a war that was going on between the PSYOP community and the public affairs, the PAO.
Policies were brought in to coordinate and overcome discordance in foreign domestic messaging by psychological operations and information operations personnel. Rhythms that would allow us to deconflict and coordinate and ensure that we weren't committing information fratricide. Practices became ultimately coordinated to ensure messages would not contradict and to maintain strategic control of messages for different audiences. Legislation was amended in 2012 to allow public diplomacy propaganda previously restricted domestically to be disseminated within the United States. Covert PSYOP messages were increasingly entering the domestic media. Protection of independent journalism and oversight of private contractors wielding algorithmic warfare have never been more important. Notice Bryant makes a clear distinction between independent journalism and private contractors wielding algorithmic warfare. Amid concern over fake news, as myriad actors grapple to dominate amid complex informational threats, audiences lose autonomy in their legitimate claim over this space as vulnerabilities are exploited. Whether domestic or foreign, when seen as information terrain or operational battle space, people are not sufficiently considered as also actors holding equity in the information environment of their own minds. Let me repeat. People are not sufficiently considered as holding equity in the information environment of their own mind.
Let's call the PAO journalists. Because if you're an American and you're a journalist and you're working for the PAO, and you then leave there and go to work for someone else, like let's say USA Today later on, and you were paid to write articles for the PAO in the military, or let's say you're in the Navy, let's say you work for a public affairs office in the Navy, and let's say you're paid to do a certain narrative or put a certain story out, and then you leave that job, can you be trusted, having been paid to disseminate a narrative before by the Defense Department, to be sitting in that chair telling people what they're supposed to be trusted to believe? So when the PAO pays someone overseas to disseminate a narrative and that person comes back and goes to work,
what we're defending is the people's right to know.
As a journalist in the U.S., how do you know? Their trust has been destroyed. That was the argument Emma was trying to make in that. That was the argument that the PAO, the Public Affairs Office, that was the debate they were having with the PSYOP. If you are damaging the credibility of our establishment, then you are endangering First Amendment protections. You're endangering freedom of the press. You're damaging the Constitution.
If we continue to accept or even participate in the use of military-grade PSYOPs by mainstream media, social media influencers, and bloggers alike in order to control the narrative and counter-narrative, we risk not only losing a free, healthy, and independent press, but we risk losing our minds.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
Mainstream media, or legacy media, has a long history of intelligence operatives and their prodigy running the news.
Mika Brzezinski, her father is the father of influence operations and psychological warfare.
Sure. A towering figure in American foreign policy, an extended member of the NBC News family as well, Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Jillian Turner, Fox News host, was also vice president of Jones Group International. doing an interview with her old boss and my old boss.
Chris Wallace's father, Mike Wallace, was a Navy communications officer.
I'm Mike Wallace.
My name is Mike Wallace.
I'm Mike Wallace.
I'm Mike Wallace.
You've said that you could do a better job at negotiating an arms control agreement with the Soviets than some of these professionals who've been trying to do it for years.
I didn't say me, Mike. I said somebody has to do it. If it were me, that'd be fine. I could do it. Somebody has to help this country. And if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
Anderson Cooper interned with the CIA.
Hey, Anderson, we had a great interview last time. I was wondering if you get a chance to look into Operation Mockingbird? You know what that is.
You're talking about something from the 1950s, dude?
1970s official declassified program, how the CIA infiltrated the mainstream media from the higher up.
Right.
It's declassified.
I read about it in college, yes, I do. Nice.
The View is a classic example of IIA, having so-called Republican never-Trumpers on a liberal-based program. Like Meghan McCain, the daughter of John McCain, whose 2008 campaign is connected to nearly everyone involved in the coup against President Trump.
We are back with a man who needs absolutely no introduction. Joe Biden himself is here.
You may remember when you were a little kid, your dad took care of my bull.
And Abby Huntsman, the daughter of John Huntsman Jr., who was instrumental in the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act of 2016.
Please welcome live from Russia, mm-hmm. Abby's dad and serious? U.S. ambassador to Russia, John Huntsman.
There they are. And
however, influence operations are strong within alternative media as well.
How many IIA assets are you aware of? Are in social media as influencers.
Just doing the math on what I knew for a fact in ways that I cannot always, in ways that I can't extrapolate any further on. But if I expanded that out logically to different countries, you're talking like in the thousands.
In a report I did titled Exclusive Deep Inside a Leftist Troll Farm, it has now become apparent that I was reporting on an IIA operation. I just didn't realize it at the time.
We were able to watch this troll farm in action. Our undercover also gained access to detailed instructions about meme generation and content to troll. We discovered these trolls were posing as right-wing extremists spreading anti-Semitic sentiment while at the same time playing the side of the left, essentially acting as sock puppet A and sock puppet B aimed at controlling both sides of political discourse. What at first appeared to be mere trolling, promoting a particular political platform, turned out to be a more serious operation engaged in deception and political subterfuge. So discord within Trump's base. Sock puppet A to push narrative that Trump will drain the Israel swamp. Sock puppet B to push narrative that Trump is an ally to Israel. Color the website as hateful by pushing over-the-top racist and divisive posts that make no real contribution. Flood alt-right Twitter sphere with praise for Andrew Yang until the disclosure as a show of power.
When we infiltrated the Yang gang, the operation had to move to the Groypers carrying the whole thing.
Let's not forget, Oliver Darcy started tweeting exact talking points lock and step on time with the Yang 2020 Discord instructions. What's scary is that a new argument could be made regarding this particular IIA operation, which involved useful idiots in both far left and far right extreme groups used to push Yang 2020 through memes.
What's the difference between a knowing asset and an unknowing asset?
You're going to want to have the least amount of people that know what's going on, the better. And in fact, if you're running, if it's a government operation and it's classified, you're not going to be able to tell someone because it was classified. Actually, you'll find that most people don't really know any of what's going on above them, or if they know anything, it's only a very small amount. Few people like myself and Jones or somebody who absolutely have to be involved in creating it are going to have the understanding of all of these things. If you're doing it, okay, I get it. Everybody's kind of doing it at one point. If all the Democrats are doing it, how are Republicans supposed to win if they don't do it? So at this point, you got everybody, who cares who started it, right? Everybody's doing it. But it's getting really bad because they've lost all empathy. They've lost all understanding of humanity. They're starting riots in the streets. They're journalists running in and getting themselves arrested. They're actually becoming the news to create the news, to generate more clicks.
Useful idiots pushing fake news stories generated from, let's say, Chan boards or fake news websites or bogus blogs could serve as the case in point for government regulation of free speech and journalism. This could destroy the First Amendment through a synthetic fake news problem, giving the government a new tool for targeting political dissent. In other words, weaponizing censorship. Sound familiar?
Do you think it's pointless to out all the IIA assets?
It's like game of whack-a-mole. You take one out, just be replaced by another. They're a dime a dozen. So you need to take them out. You need to take the funding source out.
Let's not forget who's working with Facebook to target fake news in the name of preserving the integrity of elections.
General Jones was tapped as the chairman of the Board of Atlantic Council to replace Huntsman, John Huntsman. One of the first orders of business that he did with the Atlantic Council was to create a partnership with Facebook. Facebook partners with General Jones at the Atlantic Council to restore election integrity worldwide, right? So the best out of 7 billion people on the planet, Mark Zuckerberg picks the owner of the ShadowNet.
How did anyone ever determine that the Russians hacked the DNC server? Oh yeah, we're supposed to believe that the Russians left breadcrumbs out there so that the 17 intelligence agencies could determine it.
17 intelligence agencies, civilian and military, who have all concluded that these espionage attacks, these cyber attacks, come from the highest levels of the Kremlin, and they are designed to influence our election.
This turned out to be false, and the mainstream media had to issue retractions and fire people, remember?
As you know, the IC was a coordinated product from three agencies, CIA, NSA, and the FBI, not all 17 components of the intelligence community.
We're going to speak to Chris Slow, the chief technology officer at Reddit. And then we're going to go to Rene DiResta at the Stanford Internet Observatory. We'll talk on the phone with John at the Oxford Internet Institute. And then Jeremy Blackburn at the iDrama Lab. It's a group of scientists and academics that use math and science to try to detect this stuff.
Okay, so this guy went into depth to find out.
Is there some type of large-scale, coordinated, inauthentic activity on Reddit? Is that a thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Jeremy and the iDrama Lab team were able to create a report with fascinating implications. This yellow line is what we're interested in because it's Russian troll activity on Reddit. Troll activity seems to slow down for a while, and then when the moment is right, in this case, right before the 2016 election, a percentage of these accounts surge into action and try to influence society.
However, if you actually read the academic paper, Who Let the Trolls Out, it says, although the exact methodology used to determine that these accounts were state-sponsored trolls is unknown, based on the most recent Department of Justice indictment. Wait a minute, but then how does this paper go on to make any claims about who was running these troll farms? The dataset appears to have been constructed in a manner that we can assume essentially no false positives, while we cannot make any postulations about false negatives. Say what? In other words, because non-attribution and misattribution technology, these trolls could have been coming out of Virginia, where Dynology is, where ClearForce is, and where the 91st Cyber Brigade of the National Guard deployed the ShadowNet last year. Furthermore, if you look at who has funded this academic paper, it says this project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon 2020 Research and Innovation, which is the European Union 2020 flagship initiative aimed at securing Europe's global competitiveness. I wonder which presidential candidate in 2016 was pro-EU.
That's why we are discussing possible negotiations with the European Union.
In any case, we need to work with the US, we need to engage, probably under the new administration, because we know that Trump administration is unfortunately supporting this unilateral action.
However, if we consider the very likely scenario that these trolls are IIA and that the contractors like Leone, like Dynology, like McChrystal are operating, then this data becomes very intriguing. For one, we can see there are some meaningful peaks in account creation between July 3rd through 17th of 2016, which was right before the start of the RNC, which was July 18th through the 21st, where Donald Trump was named the Republican nominee for president, which was also when Manafort took over the Trump campaign, which we know was the entry point for Trump's campaign to almost get snagged by the Cambridge Analytica honeypot scheme, part of the plot to create the illusion that Trump was elected not by the American people, but through Russian interference and election meddling. If we look at the troll farm activity during the Charlottesville riots, we see that 190 accounts were created between July 2017 and August 2017 during the run-up to the infamous Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Taken together, this might be evidence of coordinated activities aimed at manipulating users' opinions on Twitter with respect to special events. I was there at Charlottesville, observing what at the time I called a deep state operation, which I now recognize as an IIA operation. It's important to know why I went to Charlottesville. I noticed some irregularities surrounding the original Unite the Right event page. I noticed a lot of troll accounts on there, from both extreme right and extreme left accounts, pushing different narratives. I saw the media pushing a bizarre narrative. Everything was working up for some big crescendo, and I just knew that I had to be there to figure out what was really happening.
It has been hijacked by these media outlets, by the Antifa, and now the alt-right agitators.
I'm an internet troll.
That's all we're here to trigger them.
I want George fucking Soros to send me my check. I'm an outside agitator.
This guy, I recognize him. He was at the RNC. He's a organizer for Occupy.
The rally's organizer, Jason Kessler, he says he attended Occupy Wall Street event.
I'm kind of a free agent. You know, I kind of bounce around. I got a few friends from every group. I'm kind of on my own. I don't know. I just want to be able to, I don't want to have these loyalties to one group, you know, so I can do whatever I want to do.
Democrats or Republicans, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as a check clears with these people, they will work together.
I just wanted to say one quick thing on Charlottesville. I said that this looks like the deep state was involved in it because it looked like it was a huge setup.
So much for foreign propaganda and influence. We're actually looking at domestic propaganda and influence to control our elections.
If you can make a conversation into a two-sided thing instead of a three-sided or four-sided, whoever-sided thing, it becomes much easier to control it, right? If there's two very clearly opposing points of views, black and white, now it's easier to control the narrative because people get locked into one of those points of views or the other.
Should we be surprised that this YouTuber seems to know so much, yet skirts the line, somehow avoiding a subject everyone in this video should know about if they are experts on social media manipulation?
information and influence operations.
Effective social media weapons, which can then be deployed to understand how these disinformation campaigns work. This particular troll operation was underway.
What I think you're talking about is information operations.
Sebastian Bay works for the NATO Strategic Communications Center of Excellence. NATO is fully aware of the destructive nature of social media manipulation.
We have a team of investigators, and these are people who come from everything from the intelligence community to law enforcement. If the bad actor and the good actor are here,
Get to change the battlefield at any point you want.
Exactly.
The military is aware that this is a big deal. They know it's a big deal, and it's hard to win a war without a map. I don't know if it's ever been done.
That's pretty good, dude.
Sorry, but that looks way too much like IIA conducted by a public affairs officer as part of an information operation.
For the past 15 years, I have been a federal employee, specifically something called a Department of Defense civil servant. It's because I'm not a journalist, I'm not a politician, I'm a rocket engineer. We, the men and women of the Army Test Evaluation Command, have been tasked with the job of protecting soldiers by testing their equipment.
Wait, what? This is getting ridiculous. So, let's look at the IIA picture here. On one hand, we have the left, which is pushing the Black Lives Matter narrative that there's a major problem with police racially targeting African American men and killing them.
Protesters turned out in droves, many for the first time, to call for change in a system they say discriminates against Black Americans.
Then we have the Blue Lives Matter on the right, pushed by conservatives, where you're beefing up and trying to get more funding and resources to the police.
With violence against police officers on the rise, a growing number of states are passing so-called Blue Lives Matter laws to classify violence against officers as a hate crime.
In IIA, it's important to have a false dichotomy.
False dichotomy is also known as false bifurcation or the either-or fallacy. Basically, what this is claiming that there are only two options when in fact there are more.
So that both sides are fighting against each other, and neither side is actually putting forward a valid solution.
A protest in support of police was met by counter-protesters angered by incidents of police violence. As they marched towards the 6-8 precinct in Bay Ridge, the two sides clashed.
When you make it all about race, or you make it all about just blindly supporting the police in everything they do, you're excluding important conversations that need to be had to protect Americans' rights and civil liberties. The left and the right coming together to talk about police brutality and people having their rights violated as a whole. And in excluding those discussions, you're allowing for the establishment bulking up and beefing up the police while using technological advancements in algorithms and AI to further control the American population. They are now even saying, and they have articles written on this, about how we need to move towards having algorithms make decisions whether or not someone gets released on bond or risk assessments, whether or not a police officer should use deadly force or should be concerned about their safety based on these algorithms. They're saying that this is the solution to the racial bias that these police officers are inflicting on people. This is their Hegelian dialectic, so to speak.
Some departments are also considering drone surveillance and body cameras equipped with facial recognition technology. This video from the maker of an AI-powered body cam demonstrates how the technology could be used to find a missing child. Not shown, how they could use it to track suspects. Meanwhile, cities across the country have embraced a predictive policing approach that focuses not on high-risk people, but on high-risk places, putting entire neighborhoods under watch.
Problem, reaction, solution. The solution being technology in policing, which should scare us all.
RoboCop. He is OCP's newest soldier in their revolutionary crime management program.
Robo, excuse me, Robo. Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
Stay out of trouble.
What is NISPOM and how does it relate to ClearForce?
NISPOM is kind of like the OSHA of companies with clearances, right? So if you have an employee who has a government clearance like secret, top secret, NISPOM regulates what's involved with that to try to maintain security with it. After 2013 Snowden, Dynology decided, hey, let's build the ClearForce app. And they started working on the ClearForce application to create predictive behavioral models so that they could scrape social media, like Intrepid does and such, social media scraping, collect all the information on people. Then they tie that in with their financials, their medical, all of these things. They create these predictive behavioral models for them.
In a very predictive way, the 1950s sci-fi story by Philip K. Dick, The Minority Report, has come to life in our time. Police departments have already been using it. In what are called heatless, predictive programs designed to use risk assessment in predetermining whether or not a crime is going to occur and or who is likely to commit it. Like the dystopian artificial intelligence law enforcement referred to in Shadowgate 1. The scary thing here is that they've done overviews and studies of the system, and they've found that oftentimes, there are people that get flagged as high risk when they themselves have never even had a criminal record.
Police in Santa Cruz, California are getting closer to the sci-fi future using this algorithm, a complicated math equation similar to the one that predicts earthquake aftershocks, to predict crime.
If you can imagine the Atlantic Council working with Facebook to put you in Facebook jail, then it's not a stretch to imagine that ClearForce could work with the police to put you in real jail.
So they modify the NISPOM requirements in late 2016, requiring the same predictive behavioral requirements, the ClearForce application, which was now at that point launched as ClearForce Company, offers. The NISPOM comes out and announces these are new requirements for NISPOM. And then 2 weeks later, General Jones comes out with his new company, and Michael Hayden, Obama's CIA director, come out with this new company saying, oh, hey, we've got the solution for you here. We can help you meet this compliance for a nominal fee of $1,500 a person per month.
ClearForce is a technology company with a mission to create safe and secure work environments for organizations through early discovery, automation, and compliant actioning of risk.
But what they do is they create these predictive behavioral models to determine if you're likely to steal or leak before you've ever even stolen or leaked. And this same capability is available to any business out there that wants it.
The opportunity to proactively identify employees that may under various types of stress, whether it's health, financial, arrest records, social media use, all these things, and not just say, well, we can't do anything about that because that was outside of work, or we shouldn't do anything about that because we don't want to get involved in someone's personal relationship with their boyfriend. I think that's probably not a wise move.
So if they can use predictive program risk assessments against individuals, would they be brazen enough to use it against a sitting president? With the new NISPOM requirements in place, conveniently with ClearForce determining who should and shouldn't get a clearance or government contract, with the Smith-Mundt Act modifications, along with the Foreign Propaganda Act in place, allowing for domestic propaganda masked through misattribution as foreign propaganda, one thing was needed to take out a sitting president. Oversight to make sure nobody was watching. September 30th, 2016. Obama knows that within 30 days, if the NSA can't fix the overcollection problem by either dumping data or justifying having it, the FISA court will order the IG of the NSA to investigate. So what does Obama do? He writes an executive order that makes the IG of the NSA a presidential appointment rather than an appointment by the director of the NSA. November 30th, 2016, Obama nominates Robert Storch, who is working as deputy IG of the DOJ under Horowitz at the same time.
I'm Rob Storch, and I'm honored to serve as the Inspector General at the National Security Agency.
During the transition period from the Obama administration into the Trump administration. These last few changes during the 2016 election are what facilitated the leaks of classified information, including the contents of telephone calls between heads of state, and laid out the path for the impeachment of President Donald Trump.
Let's talk about Spirit of America. Mm-hmm. Why does their website literally look like a yearbook of all of the Never Trumpers and the people that have been plotting the coup against President Trump.
It does.
General Stanley McChrystal is the Spirit of America.
I mean, Spirit of America is a veterans-based nonprofit running ads, running commercials and such in Iraq. Are there a lot of veteran expats moving to Iraq right now? I don't think so. So they're using these organizations. If you're a legitimate veterans nonprofit operating overseas, now you're going to be looked at potentially as a spy organization or something.
If we take a closer look at Spirit of America, besides being a who's who of those who would benefit from overthrowing the president through an elaborate coup d'etat, we can see that Tory Mahoney, a different Tory, is the special assistant to the CEO who plans, manages, and executes the CEO's schedule and provides research and planning support to special projects and strategic initiatives. In addition to her political fundraising experience, Tory was a field director for Senator Portman's record-breaking 2016 election campaign. Wow, what a coincidence. Portman just so happens to be the senator for my district. What's this? She also happens to be the scheduler for the House of Representatives during the same period Dynology had the government contract for the Congressional Knowledge Management System. These official documents suggest the Congressional Knowledge Management System, outsourced to a private contractor, is hosted, managed, and stored in servers in Germany. This is very disturbing. She is literally connected to everyone I likely pissed off in Shadowgate 1 and in a position to, but I'm not gonna go there. Notice both the Rhino Republicans and Deep State Democrats are still pushing the Russia meddling in our election narrative. Who benefits from this? NATO and those who profited from staging a civil war in Ukraine.
President Trump turned his attention to the leadership at the Pentagon. He says many top military leaders don't support him because he wants to get the U.S. out of wars while they want to keep waging war, mainly to satisfy defense contractors.
Biden shipped away our jobs, threw open our borders, and sent our youth to fight in these crazy endless wars. And it's one of the reasons the military, I'm not saying the military is in love with me, the soldiers are. The top people in the Pentagon probably aren't, because they want to do nothing but fight wars so that all of those wonderful companies that make the bombs and make the planes and make everything else stay happy.
I didn't vote for any of these people pushing their idea of America overseas, right? I voted for President Trump. And if he says, okay, this is the message we want out, then I'm okay with that. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is you have these people that hate President Trump because they're trying to make money from the Department of Defense, and he's like trying to cut their access to the money. He wants to pay to put it more into our troops and such. You have this war between them. They're constantly attacking them. They've got Biden lined up for 2020 to be able to get their little game going again.
Maybe Biden's campaign ads should just say, sponsored by the military-industrial complex.
Beautiful, right?
I mean, because that's who they want, right? That's their guy.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
You believe that Vice President Joe Biden would be a more effective commander-in-chief over the next 4 years?
Joe, I do. I think that he would surround himself with an effective team of good people.
Now with Cindy McCain, widow of Senator John McCain. Last night she became the latest prominent Republican to endorse Joe Biden for president.
I want a president who has my back.
I've always been on the opposite side of John McCain. No, I was not a fan of John McCain because he wanted the endless wars, and I didn't. I thought that the way the vets were taken care of, our great vets, was not good, not appropriate. And of course, he took the fake dirty dossier and gave it over to the FBI.
The Republicans, through John McCain and his associates, disseminated the fake Russian dossier.
It wasn't until the dossier appears on the scene that they were able to go and get a warrant.
they point their fingers at the Democrats for colluding with the Russians.
The dossier was prepared by a man named Christopher Steele, who was hired by Fusion GPS, that was being paid by the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign to do opposition research against candidate Trump.
Meanwhile, the Democrats pushed the narrative that the Russians hacked the DNC.
The FBI learned in July of 2016 that the Trump campaign appeared to have advanced knowledge of Russia's plans to release, quote, thousands of emails, end quote, to harm Hillary Clinton and help Trump. The FBI learned this 1 week after WikiLeaks published 20,000 emails that Russia had stolen from the Democratic National Committee's hacked computers.
And that Paul Manafort, who just so happens to be John McCain's former campaign manager, gave social media data to the Russians to help Trump win the 2016 election.
None of the Mueller report's findings of criminal charges rely on the Steele dossier. None of them.
The so-called Russian dossier was part of a cover story hiding the fact that the NSA overcollection problem was being used to spy on the Trump campaign candidate and now President Donald Trump, all the way up until March 15, 2020. The alleged impeachment whistleblower was actually a wiretap, hence supersonic hearing capabilities. Eric Ciaramella was a decoy to hide the fact that the president was being wiretapped through a 702 data overcollection problem connected to the Sunset Clause, collection problem that the NSA Inspector General Robert Storch oversaw. None of this was ever supposed to be found out, but Trump won. Now with an administration in a position to piece this whole thing together. Which is why President Trump allowed the Sunset Clause of the Patriot Act, which legalized and enabled the FISA 702 collection of everyone's data, to expire on March 15th, 2020. But not before he declared a state of emergency on March 13th, 2020, where his people had access for 72 hours to all the data, including the communications of those who were plotting a coup against him. Oops. The military-industrial complex, which has been running both Republican and Democrat Party campaigns, used hacks as cover for removing and replacing memorandums of understanding, backdoor deals, blackmail, election meddling software, emails, etc., from the RNC and DNC servers. This all came to a head in 2016 when an unexpected mirroring of the DNC server created a situation where domestic meddling in elections could be found out. So non-attribution and misattribution had to be used to make it look like the Russians not only hacked the DNC and RNC servers, but leaked that information to WikiLeaks and the Trump campaign to falsely claim Trump was colluding with the Russians to win the 2016 election. But when the Trump campaign turned down the honeypot trap offer from Cambridge Analytica for social media influence operations, which was a setup to make it look like the social media data used by Cambridge Analytica came from the Russians, the shadow government's plot to create a scenario for impeachment of President Trump failed. So when President Trump spoke with the newly elected president of Ukraine, all hell broke loose. The Atlantic Council, Spirit of America, Joe Biden, the Inspector General of the NSA, people at the State Department, USAID, Jones Group International, a handful of retired generals, and their affiliated companies were in serious trouble. So the second attempt to impeach the president was kicked off. But it failed too. though culpable, the FBI is low-hanging fruit, and James Comey is a fall guy. If we continue down this cover story narrative, then no one will ever be held accountable.
We are here again today as part of the chairman's examination of Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI's Russia investigation.
Crossfire Hurricane? More like Hurricane Electric being one of the server networks in Germany, inside the European Union, used for this elaborate scheme.
What Millie had shown in her documentary with Patrick and Tori was really a first-class body of evidence that the President of the United States should assign a special team of prosecutors, a special inspector general to investigate and prosecute, because this really is the weak point where the whole house of cards of the deep state and Brennan and Obama and Holder and all of these people could come tumbling down over.
You know, the only person we haven't brought up yet in this Shadowgate series is General Flynn.
We have so many capabilities within the coalition, particularly our human intelligence collection, I think is actually one of the pieces, the components that helps us out quite a bit.
Well, if you're going to talk about General Flynn, we have to talk about Khashoggi.
So I reached out to Craig Timberg with Washington Post to do the story about analogy that about a year later was when Jamal Khashoggi was murdered at the Turkish embassy. I believed he was an IAEA asset.
To talk about Khashoggi, we also have to talk about Pakistani intelligence, the Awan brothers, Covington Law Firm.
In 2016, I got a job at Covington and Burley in-house security. Our duties were to protect materials, computers, all that stuff.
Eric Holder, High Value Intelligence Group.
Been a part of the deliberations which have established this high-value interrogation unit as part of the decisions to close Guantanamo.
Brennan, CIA, Black Ops, all of that falls under that category.
So how do we fix it?
With the awakening.
This is a wonderful opportunity for other military veterans, other intelligence officials who were contractors, and also who work in the agencies to come forth and join the ranks of fellow whistleblowers and fellow American patriots.
Turns out Shadowgate is going to be a trilogy.
This isn't a game, people, but these people are treating this like a game. And we need to stop it.
I hope you are enjoying the Shadowgate series. These films are made possible by you, the viewer. I don't work for any organizations, nor do I work for any news outlets. I am 100% an independent journalist, and I answer to no one except my viewers. If you would like to see more documentaries and exclusive reports, please visit my website, millennialmillie.com. You can support my work by purchasing these exciting new t-shirts, stickers, hats, and posters, or you can simply make a donation. You can also support my work by becoming a patron on my Subscribestar. You can find me at Millie Weaver on Subscribestar. Without your support, I cannot continue to provide you cutting-edge exclusive reports, documentaries, and bring you insider information, whistleblower leaks, and information that I'm uniquely privileged to. It is so important that I have your support more now than ever. I promise you that I will do my due diligence and give you the real hardcore truth, no matter what it takes. You can follow me on Twitter at Millie_Weaver. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Millennial Millie. Subscribe to my twitch.tv/MillennialMillie. And find me on Facebook as Millie Weaver. The future of real, honest journalism is up to you. Thank you for all of your support.
Yo.
That was pretty detailed, I think. Had a lot of information. So like I said, hit us up on Instagram, the Kill the Mockingbirds, or at kill_mockingbirds, or at killthemockingbirds@gmail. And contact us over there and tell us if you like this episode. Like I said, this was just airing what Millie Weaver had to say. So let us know what you think, man. Hope to see you. A lot of comments, a lot of more of you guys interacting with us, and keep feeding us those clips. We got a show coming up on Saturday. We can't go live still. We're banned from all social media at the time. So, wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.